Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, a.k.a. The Hungry Man from Everybody's Hungry.
And we are coming to you from the bowels of the conical fermenter.
I like that one. It's consistent. You know, we tried the lauter tun at one time. We did the mash tun, but conical fermenter has a ring to it.
Well, maybe we should call this the plate, coming to you from the bowels of the plate chiller. Only because of the fact that we've done this show once already, and because I am such an amateur at running a soundboard that I can't figure out how to turn the echoes off before we start the show. So this time it should be good, and we're on our way.
So there'll be none of this
echo. Yes, hopefully not. I have not gotten any messages from anyone.
Complaints this time.
Right.
We got to watch for a text, though, too, because Alex Vieco of Montavo Tequila.
Sure.
He said that during the last show, he was messaging you. Oh. So we got to, I got to get mine up on the table so I can be aware of it. But he said he was messaging us, telling us there was an echo, and we just missed it. We are so ingrained in the experience and trying to bring you the tasting knowledge that we were putting out there. We missed it.
Well, I have learned several new tricks since that last set, and learning how to turn.
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
I know. It's a lot of fun. So I've got a checklist of things to check before, obviously, checklist of things to check to make sure that we don't.
Check box number one, right, check the checklist.
So that I know that we're broadcasting a good signal and that it's recorded well. Because I don't like to do the redo shows, but since we've got a bunch of beers to choose from, I picked a different beer. So it's like a brand new show.
So my previous tasting notes that I went back and listened to will be irrelevant this time. I have to start fresh. It's going to be great. You got a brand new palette.
That's right.
And what style number are we on today?
Okay, so we are looking at BJCP category number 6. And these are the light hybrid beers. And we're talking beers that come in anywhere between 4.2% and 6%. So there's quite a range. And I'm wondering if, Jason, if you can guess which versions come in at 6%.
Ooh.
Okay, so I'm going to give you, it's a multiple choice.
Yeah, I can't turn around now and look at the notes. I feel like I'm cheating.
So it's either traditional or American. Which ones come in at 6%?
I would say probably the Americans. We like to go big and bold.
That's right. So the American versions, we like generally
to bastardize a lot of recipes to our own taste. You know, sometimes we come out with some great stuff, but almost consistently the alcohol percentage is higher.
Right. So we've got there's three different kinds. There is the cream ale, and cream ales, those have a slight corn sweetness in them.
Okay.
But they're also really smooth. Hops are used in those, but they're not present. They're just there to kind of balance. One of the things that are nice about cream ales, too, is they can be used a lot of times if you're infusing other flavors into them. So one of my favorite cream ales that I've had was a chai tea infused cream ale.
Interesting.
And it sounds interesting. The flavors go really well because the cream ales are very smooth and creamy. They have a really nice corn sweetness to it, so that helps to, especially on a chai tea, a little sweeter. You've got some nice spices in there that go well with the sweetness as well.
That makes sense. And when you're thinking of a traditional chai tea, it's often served with a certain level of foam and creates a creamy texture anyway. So I'd like to try that. What was that beer?
I'll have to look for it. And I ended up having it at a cafe somewhere. And I'm trying to think. Well, I was in San Luis Obispo, actually. And I ended up having a bread pudding with it. So think of chai tea and bread pudding. So, I mean, it went really well with dessert. Then there's also the blonde ales, which are a little more hop forward, a little crisper. They're still balanced on the malt side, so they're going to be more malt than hop or bitter, but there's still a more pronounced hop aroma and a hop flavor to it. And then you have Kolsch, and so the Kolsch is the traditional version coming out of Germany. There's a new brewery opening up in LA called LA Ale Works, And they have a Kolsch, and they have a Thai tea infused Kolsch. And it's very, it's a really interesting beer, a great beer to kind of, you know, cut your teeth, I guess, in getting into craft beer. Because it has that little bit of tea flavor, and it mixes in with this real smooth sort of lager ale kind of cream finish.
That's cool that they're doing that, because the trend right now is definitely the experimentals. You know, trying to bring in flavors that people are familiar with in a unique way to a beer that you wouldn't necessarily expect. There's nothing to take away from a good traditional recipe, Pilsner, lager, stout, any style of beer you can think of. But when brewers want to get creative and they start adding things, that's when we have, you know, a really fun and exciting experience, because it changes the profile of that beer completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was going to ask you too, real quick. Cream ales, are they pretty difficult to make? Are they, or this style, the hybrids in general, are they a simplified style of brewing?
Well, let me just, before I answer that question, I wanted to point out that I forgot one other subcategory to this, and it's American wheat or rye beers.
Okay.
So, looking at Red Hook Brewing, they've got a Sun Rye, which is really nice beer. And then I'm trying to think of some other ones right off the top of my head. And as I'm scrolling down, I'll see Harpoon UFO for people who are out on the East Coast that can get that. Sierra Nevada's Unfiltered Wheat, Anchor Summer Beer, some of these other ones that kind of fall into that.
And would those be considered kind of a seasonal then, especially we're looking at the lighter profile and maybe trying to go with a hotter season like summer?
Definitely, because they're going to be a well-balanced beer. They're going to be fairly light in body and easy to drink, you know. And their lower alcohol means that you can enjoy a bunch of them on a hot summer day.
Excellent.
So getting back to your point on are these a harder beer to – or why actually are they called a hybrid beer? And one of the reasons that we call them a light hybrid beer is because of their color.
Okay.
They're light in color. You can see on Jason's holding his up that it's got a nice golden color. This is Mission Brewery's Blonde Ale.
Mission Brewery right down in San Diego.
Right. And so what happened was Kolsch comes from Cologne, Germany, and they were getting the brewers there, the ale brewers there, were starting to lose a lot of market share to Pilsners. Pilsners were becoming very, very popular. Pilsners, as we know, are a lager beer. And it takes, you have to have a special kind of equipment in order to brew, to correctly brew.
And for that one, we talked about temperature really being key, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because lagers are brewed at a colder temperature, so you have to be able to keep them at a cold temperature. And we're talking in the upper 40s, low 50s for their fermentation. It takes a long time, and you've got to be able to refrigerate that beer while it's fermenting. Well, these brewers were traditionally ale brewers, and they couldn't do these pilsners or these lagers, and so they started using ale yeast and started fermenting them as cold as they could get. And we've got ale temperature or ale yeast being fermented at lager temperatures or close to lager temperatures. And they did this only to just so that they could be competitive with Pilsen and some other beers.
It's good that they had that insight then and that innovation, though, because they may not have been around. You know, you're dealing with another company that's got a product that people are wanting. You've got to find a way to, you know, get into that market share. So cheers to them.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the blonde ale that we have here. When you sniff it, you're talking the aroma. It's a really sweet, malty aroma. Mine is, I come out with almost all corn. I don't know.
Definitely a lot of corn. There's a butteriness there kind of underlying a little bit. Yeah. And medium. Even a little dankness. That's kind of a, like a wet grass morning. Mm-hmm. Not the smell of grass, but just that wetness, maybe even post rain that mm-hmm. people can associate with.
Well, and then I think about back to also, in the first version of this show, we tasted Surf Brewery's Mondo's Cream Ale.
Yeah.
And it didn't have nearly, I don't remember it having the hop the sort of hop bitterness that this
No, it definitely did not. Going back, it had for me a little bit more of a grapefruit rind and even a jicama kind of familiarity to me. And this is definitely a little more hoppy. It's got some floral notes. And on the palate, you've got just that little hint of bitterness that we typically get out of hops.
Yeah. So the flavor, you know, it's a malt sweetness. There is, when you kind of think of a bready, a kind of biscuity sort of flavor, you know, not a real, think about putting toast in the toast, you're putting your bread in the toaster, turning
it
down
toast until it's in the
turning it down to one or two, you know, putting the bread in the
just
toaster.
To heat it up a little bit and let then, those aromas kick in.
Right. And then, so then you get a little more cooking out of that bread and a real, a very, very, very light toast, not a three or a four.
No, very light. You know what I get too, the longer it sits in my palate, is actually a little bit of an unsalted sunflower seed kind of flavor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I've never thought of that before, and for some reason it just makes sense to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even that'll be a good – we'll come back to that on the food pairings. So medium light body, overall just a real kind of refreshing.
Yeah, this is definitely – when we're talking about seasons, this is definitely a great late spring, early summer kind of beer. You can sit out on the beach or sit out in the park with, you know, friends and family, cook up some chicken, throw some sausages on the grill, and you've got a great partner right here. And, you know, we go back frequently talking about traditions and not losing sight of origin. And, you know, if we're thinking of, you know, Kolsch being the traditional base, don't lose sight of sausages and schnitzels and kind of your typical German-style fare. Mm-hmm. A good potato salad with this, like a mustard-based potato salad, and you've got a winner.
So, and then even going to salads, some of the things, you know, when you go through a salad bar, there's always that bowl of sunflower seeds at the end. There you go. Something that will tie these two together as per your description on that. I'm thinking that even going into, so definitely don't ever overestimate or underestimate the traditional pairings, you know.
Sure.
Definitely that's a great starting plate. But then spicy foods, so maybe some like sesame oil, so just that little bit of toasted sesame.
Interesting. All right,
you know, it was the sunflower that kind of threw me into that, and thinking of sunflower oil, something else that you use to
I could see that
to kind of stir fry anything.
Yeah.
And some spice. And so this beer has a really nice malty sweetness, which will help to counteract the spices. So you've got this malt flavor the sweetness that's going to help that. Then, but there's also a nice carbonation and an elevated hop presence in this beer that'll help kind of explode those spices just a tiny bit, and then the malt will kind of carry everything away and wash everything back.
And you want to avoid, I think the more I taste this one, avoid heavy sauces and really heavy flavorings. Mm-hmm. Anything that's creamy are going to mask this, because it's definitely opening up on my palate. The more air I take in and the more it's opening in the glass, there's some cool flavor profiles that would unfortunately be just totally washed away with any heavy sauce or kind of cream base.
Right. And coming back to one of our important rules is matching intensities. And so keeping this on the lighter side of mouth coating kinds of flavors, ones that are just going to totally wash away or that are going to kill your palate, and you're not going to be able to taste it.
You know what just popped into my head? Philly cheesesteak. Because I have some kind of a little bit of an herbaceous, like green pepper undertone.
Oh, sure.
And the green peppers, onions, provolone cheese, or cheese whiz if you prefer, and a great steak on a hoagie roll.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's a meal.
Well, and then some of my just kind of general cheese pairing ideas for this would be Monterey Jack, which you could shave off onto, your Philly cheesesteak. But they're between Monterey Jack and provolone, the base cheese is real similar, you know, and so you've got those two. Maybe try a brie. You know, if you've got a little funk on that, you know, you're talking to match with the herbal sorts of hop flavors that are coming out of this as well. And those, you know, those nice creamy sorts of mild flavor cheeses. But then when, you know, Monterey Jack, or you go to the spicy, I'm trying to think of the pepper jack kinds of cheeses, where you were talking about with spicy foods and just the herbaceous kinds of flavors that come on. And
I could even see this, because one of the things too is, obviously, as you mentioned, we want to match intensity. But sometimes you want to use a good beer like this to cut through spice and that as well. I could go for a good Jamaican jerk chicken right now. You got some of those kind of char and rich spices with the jerk chicken, and the floral aspects and the carbonation of this would cut through pretty nicely and really kind of mellow it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as general guidelines, I have some the white meats, and so chicken sticks along with that, fish, maybe some pork along with it. Pork, which is going back to sausage and its traditional roots.
You know, I didn't think about fish initially, but I could see how it would work, even to the point of taking a little of this in your marinade or your poach. But it's probably going to need to be a fleshy, almost sweet kind of fish. But if you use a little bit of this in the poaching, if you want to wrap it in paper and steam it,
right,
the floral notes and that little bit of sweet corn aspect should really add some sweetness and good flavor to the fish.
I like that. I like that a lot. That would be a fantastic pairing for someone to give it a shot and then get back to us on that.
Yeah, we want the feedback. And where can we send feedback?
You can send it to Curtis@hopheadsaid.com or
Jason@everybodyshungry.org.
And we'd love to hear from you, giving us your feedback on the show. If you are, obviously you're listening to us on podcast, so go to hopheadsaid.com and click on the Pints and Pairings logo on the front page, and you'll go to each session that we do here, each podcast. We'll probably have a video along with it. And
if you want to see our ugly mugs, tune into the video.
There you go, Faces for Radio. And then also the links to whatever recipes we can find. So,
and
comment
with your feedback, if you got a great food pairing, we'll post it up there. You know, it's all about sharing and about learning from each other. So,
right. Well, that feels like we've covered it. I don't think we have to dwell on blonde ales.
No, I don't think so. It's a good beer and some great pairing ideas.
Cheers. So, I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, aka The Hungry Man.
And as always, we want to remind you to eat, drink, and be hoppy.
And we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.
Cheers.